Come on, somebody begin to praise him just a minute. Let's entertain him just for a minute with our praise and with our worship. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. If you'd stand one more time. You know how the let up of the holidays and the seems like you just get stopped and you're trying to catch your breath and you're running on empty. Anybody ever feel like that? Well, I'm glad I'm the only one. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was with such a paragon of virtues out here. Every once in a while, I get to feeling like I'm just running on empty. This is what church does for us. It revives us. It revives us. If you have your Bibles, your iPads, iPhones, Nooks, Kindles, Androids. I thought that was something on Star Trek, but whatever Star Trek is, I don't know. 1 Samuel 17 and 40. Let's just take dominion over some things in the spirit tonight. What do you think? And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine, or do y'all say Philistine here? Y'all don't care? Only thing stood between me and college was high school, so I try to make sure I got everything right. Up north, they like Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. Now, everyone repeat this with me. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Say that. One more time. That way I don't forget, okay? Now, I love the word. I love every time I open this Bible, I find something new in it. And I love it when God shows you some things when you've been reading this same scripture over and over. Isn't that cool? It'll just jump out. And I want to preach on giant killers tonight. And before we leave, we're going to take some dominion. Anybody need dominion? I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to pray over this microphone. And I want you to pray over this evangelist. Come on, I want you to pray that God would move on you and open up your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we need you tonight, God. Lord, I can't do it unless you anoint me, Lord. I can't do it without your anointing, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch my voice, Lord. Touch my mind, God, and my body, Jesus. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you move upon this congregation. Lord, I speak against any infirmities or sickness, and I take dominion over spirits, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we invoke your name over this sanctuary. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I praise you. Come on, I give you glory. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I enter into your gates with thanksgiving. I enter into your courts with praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You see, the Philistines had gathered their armies to go against Israel. Now, I hope y'all like Bible stories because I preach a lot in Bible stories. I mean, it's kind of like about him, isn't it? And the Philistines had gathered their armies to go against Israel. And the Bible tells us here in this chapter, in 1 Samuel, they gathered together at a place called Shoco, which the Bible says belonged to Judah. You see, sometimes the enemy will come against you. Anybody ever been attacked by the enemy? And sometimes the enemy will not only come against you, but he will come into your territory, try to make war with you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of the times we give the devil way too much credit, because he's really not that sharp, or he wouldn't have got kicked out of heaven. Some things happen because that's just what happens in life. Now, I don't believe the devil can kill me, because if he could, he would have already done it, because I come against him every time I get behind the pulpit. But I also think that when I was bought with his blood and buried in his name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, God put a bloodline and a covering around me. Come on. And I'm not afraid of every devil in hell. Now, I'm going to tell you, we don't have to walk around in fear, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He doesn't have dominion over us. Come on, we have dominion over him. But what he is an opportunist. He waits till he sees you're weak from not praying and not fasting. That fasting's a tough one for me. I don't know about anybody else. I get so hungry. I could do it longer if I didn't get so hungry. You know, the buffet keeps my step counter up where I need it. And he's an opportunist, and he waits until you're in a place that where you're weak and your defenses are vulnerable. And that's when he slips into your territory. Come on, which is usually your mind. And he brings in fear, panic, anxiety. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I've been dealing with it for about 3 or 4 days now. Come on. Them old doctors can make you scared to death. They practice medicine. That's what scares me. They're in there practicing on me. And he comes at you with fear and anxiety. I want you to know that we don't have to put up with that junk. Come on, we don't have to put up with that junk anymore. Come on, we came in here tonight. We might have been a little bit tired. I was tired when I walked in here tonight. But when they begin to sing, I begin to feel the presence of God. Come on, them little, you know, that chicken skin jumps up on your arm. Brother Myers whispering all those nuggets to me. Man, if I was skinny, I would have ran the aisles. I'm just going to tell you. I walked. Did you see the Philistines had slipped into Israel's territory? The Bible tells us that they stood on one mountain and Israel stood on the other mountain. And the valley of Elah was between them. 1 Samuel 17:4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, I was at a, I'm not going to say the place, the state, but I was at a youth convention last year. And this guy actually got up, and y'all get to know me. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut. My wife's not here, so y'all are in trouble. And the guy preached that Goliath really had a disease and was blind, and they had to lead him out there on the battlefield. And while he's teaching it, I went, well, that's a bunch of hooey. Is hooey all right here? And my wife goes, Nick. I go, sorry. My Bible says that he was a champion. Come on, there was a champion. You can always tell. Devil starts getting worried about you. He sends out his best. Come on, I'm just going to be honest with you. He's not worried about you getting that new truck or that car. Come on. He's not worried about you to get a higher credit limit on your credit card. But what worries him is when you say, Pastor, how long has it been since we had an all-night prayer meeting? Come on, how long, men, has it been since you got together? and said, you know what, we're going to open up the doors of the church tonight, and we're going to pray until something stirs and something begins to shake, not only in our community, but in our church. Come on, or you start fasting, walking around your neighborhood, doing prayer walks, driving by those old crack houses and binding them up in the name of Jesus. You start trying to witness to people and give them home Bible studies. That's what worries the devil, and then he's going to send out a champion after you. He's not going to send out some old used up demon dragging his pitchfork. Got a horn hanging down on his cheek. His tail's all bent. No, he's going to send out a champion. You see, I believe hell's having a meeting right now. They're saying that church in Paris, if they ever wake up, if they ever realize who they are. Now, y'all remember them old movies? I hope I don't get in trouble for this. Please don't be taping this. You know when they had Hitler? And he had that big map with all those pins stuck in it. I believe hell's around a map right now. And they're going, you see those people down in Paris, Texas? If they ever realize who they are, and the devil stuck a big old pin right in the map. Come on, you need to realize who you are. You're not just some average, ordinary churchgoer, but you're a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, come on, sanctified, baptized in Jesus' name church. Come on, we get up. I get up in the morning in the name of Jesus. I go to bed in the name of Jesus. I got news for you. I get up in the middle of the night and I walk around in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. The devil's not even a little bit scared about accepting him as your personal Savior, baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost church. But he's afraid, shaking in his boots at a one God, Jesus name church. First Samuel 17:5. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, target of brass between his shoulders. That's a bad dude right there, walks around with a target on him. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and service. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Every day this giant would come out and challenge the army of Israel. He'd walk out with his shield bearer. He would walk out with his heavy and impressive armor. He would wave and point his spear and dare them to send out a man to fight him. I don't know about y'all, but I've always hated bullies. And I've always been a big old guy. I was the bully eliminator when I was growing up. And this big old bully would come out twice a day. You see, the enemy is coming at us. Come on, do you believe it? We're in the end time. He's coming from every direction. He tries to come at you and shake his weapons in your face. And his armor looks like there's no way that you're going to make it through it. And he's made you feel like that you can't defeat him. But I'm telling you, before this service is over, not just you, honey, but me, we're going to defeat some things in the spirit. Come on, the name of Jesus can defeat all things. Come on, the name of Jesus can control all things. The name of Jesus can heal all things. We have dominion through the name of Jesus. I believe it's time to take back some things that the devil's trying to take from us. Come on, he's coming into your homes. He's trying to steal your joy. Somebody needs to walk up to this altar tonight and say, I take back the joy that you've been trying to steal me. Come on, he's been trying to take your praise. Somebody needs to praise him tonight like you've never praised him before. Goliath tells him, send out a man to fight me. If he beats me, we'll be your servant. But if I win, you will be our servants. He tells him, I defy the armies of Israel every morning, every evening. You see, the devil knows that it's the last days, and his time is short. He's pushing harder than he ever has before. That's why it's not time to be social Christians. Come on, and bench warmers. Got one foot in the world, one in the church. You can always tell them because they don't want to pay their tithes. Well, I'll skip that subject. They're not faithful, but the minute something happens, who's the first person they call? Come on, bench warmers, social Christians. We got to sing it like we've never sang it before. This may be the last service that we're ever in. We got to preach it like we've never preached it before. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. Come on, we got to fast. We got to fast. Instead of shaking in fear when the enemy shows up, we need to stand fast and attack him. Come on, God never intended us to sit on a pew and be passive, but he intended us to be warriors. Paul said, I'm a good soldier for Christ. Well, one day out on the battlefield walks a young man, the Bible says, whose heart beat with God's heart. I love David. David had come to see his brothers and bring them some food. And as he's handing them whatever they handed them back then, about that time Goliath walks out and he begins challenging the armies of Israel again. 1 Samuel 17 and 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. But that last line says, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, I've been in shootouts, car wrecks, knife fights, fist fights, barroom brawls. I've never got so afraid that I got sore. Them fellas were scared, wasn't they? Them Israelites were scared. David could not believe that everyone was afraid of this giant Goliath. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can I tell you, God is looking for some men, and you make no mistake about it, God is looking for some women in these last days that have a revelation of the name of Jesus, and they realize the power of his name, and they are not afraid to step out on spiritual battlefields and slay the spiritual giants that are trying to come against our church, that are trying to come against our youth group. Come on. You're never too young to be a warrior. You're never too old to be a warrior for Jesus. You just have to be willing to be used. All I know is in 2018, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Come on, I'm ready to see this world won. The devil wants us to think if we sit on a church pew and be passive and quiet, that he'll just slide by and leave us alone. That's not how it works. He hates us because we're people of the name, and he hates us with a passion. So you might as well step out and start hating him. Come on, the best offense, best defense is an offense. Saul heard that David wasn't afraid of Goliath. It's kind of like living in a small town. You can have a flat. They know what kind of tire you put on there. Did you hear so and so? So he hears that one person out of the whole Israelite army is not afraid. So, I mean, you know, he hasn't had anybody else. So he says, hey, bring him on in here. And David tells Saul, I'll fight this giant. Saul tries to tell him, well, you're just a youth. And this guy's a man of war. 1 Samuel 17 and 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will, not he might, not he can, not there's a chance, but he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. You see, David didn't have the most experience. He wasn't the most gifted. And we know he wasn't the biggest through Scripture or the most likely. But David had one thing going for him. He knew the God he served. Come on, you may not be the best singer. Come on, you know, usually the worst singers sing on one key and they're the loudest ones in the whole building. I mean, they get in Asia Minor and they don't move. You might not be the best musician. If you think about getting up here and speaking, you get sore afraid. But I want you to know, if you know the power of the name of Jesus, come on, that's all you need. You can step out on a battlefield. Come on, if you know the power of the name of Jesus, you don't need anything else. You can be a mighty warrior for God. Come on, God is looking through this place tonight, and he's looking down through each pew. He's looking at each person in this place, and he's saying, I need you. I need you to step out on the battlefield. I need you to be a warrior for me. I need you to go out and conquer Paris, Texas. So Saul tries to arm David with his armor. Remember that in Sunday school? They gave him that helmet. Pretty good sound effects, wasn't it? I've been working on that. Gave him that sword. Tried to hand him a shield. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture doesn't say they didn't fit. It said it's because he hadn't proven them. Come on, we don't need some new watered-down version of salvation. Come on, we don't need to try things that haven't been proven. But what we need is some old-fashioned Bible preaching that hasn't changed since the day of Pentecost. I want you to know it still takes repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus. Not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but baptism in the only name that can save you, in the name of Jesus. And then you're going to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to know you received the Holy Ghost because you're going to speak in other tongues. Come on, we don't need something new. We need to know what is proven and what has been tried down through the centuries and through the eons of time. I'm so tired of these sissies that want to compromise. Come on. They'll baptize you any way that you want to be baptized. Pat you on the back and grab your wallet as you're going out the door. Come on, we need some men to stand up. We need some women in this last days that aren't afraid to go to the job and preach this gospel. Come on, we need some men that have laid up under the pew and fasted and prayed for hours. I've had people ask me, how come your dad was so powerful? Because you could walk into church and my dad would be under the pew praying for hours. Now, I'm guilty of it too. We're in a fast-paced society. I'm raising a 10 and an 8-year-old. I can barely tie my own shoes. I get so tired of hearing papa, 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 papa. What? Because the older you get, the less you like noise. And I had to come back from Malvern today, and I finally turned the radio on about 82. That exit for 82 West, is it? I just like sitting there in the peace and the quiet. You see, God is pressing us. Can I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost? God is ready to shake this church up. I told my wife today, I said, there's some things going on at that church in Paris, and God's going to shake them up. Come on, do you believe me? This place, I don't know where you're going to put them when they start walking through those doors. 1 Samuel 17:39. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Then I want to get back to my text, and it says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Now David picked up 5 stones. He had a sling in his hand. I believe he is whistling. He's heading out to face this giant. If you'll notice in verse 41, it says Goliath's shield bearer went before him. Because you see, in that time, warriors and men of battle always had an armor bearer or a shield bearer that went before them. And these men were not servants. These men were men that were trained in war. These men, they were experts in the weaponry of war. If you needed something in battle, your shield bearer would fight his way to wherever you was to bring you another spear if it broke, or if you lost your sword, or something happened, he would make his way to you. You can find several references in scriptures to armor bearers and shield bearers. Jonathan, David's friend, him and his armor bearer took a whole Philistine garrison. But I want you to hear me. Before David ever got to the giant Goliath, he had to get past the shield bearer. Maybe you haven't been able to topple the giants in your life because maybe you just haven't made it past the armor bearer yet. You've cried out in fear and agony over the giants when God has already equipped you for the battle and victory. He is just waiting for you to conquer some of the smaller things in your life so you can kill the giants in your life. You see, the word tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. I'm afraid that sometimes our focus is on the giants while the small things are what's really keeping us from the victory. Now, I know it doesn't tell us how David was able to get past Goliath's shield bearer, but I want you to know he had to get past him to have victory over the giant. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're the catalyst for revival in Paris, Texas. Maybe you're the one that God has chosen to be a giant killer. We have the truth. We have all the weapons we need. Now God is just waiting on us to conquer the little things that have become a distraction to us so we can become giant killers. We don't need more programs. We don't need more new methods. But what we need are people who are sold out for the kingdom of God that get to a place where it's not about them and it's about Him. When we spend more time on our face than on Facebook, when we start pushing that dinner plate away, when we start praying more than we've ever prayed before, that's conquering the shield bearer. That's getting past the armor bearer, and then you can become a giant killer. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when I crucify this flesh, when I make Jesus the center, when I forsake all the worldly lust, and I put Him as Lord and Savior and ruler of my life, I have made it past the little distractions that are trying to keep me from who God wants me to be. My dad, when I first got in church, I traveled with him for 3 years, and then he passed away. And my dad was different than everybody else. And he marched to his own drummer. And we flew into Los Angeles. I hadn't been in church, maybe not even a year. I was still struggling with nicotine, a bunch of other things. And there's a place in the Los Angeles area. It's called Venice Beach. And it's, you know, all the movies have it, you know, scenes from there. It's just, you can't believe it unless you see it. So my dad tells the guy driving the car, he goes, "Hey, Ignert, I want to go to Venice Beach." He says, "You sure, Brother Mahaney? That's a wild place." My dad wanted to go get right in the middle of it. So as my father and me and this other preacher, we finally get parked and we walk down to Venice Beach. All up and down this long sidewalk for miles is tarot card readers, palm readers, people with crystal ball reading stuff, swamis, I mean, it just, you name it. We turn the corner. My dad had a short black shirt, sleeve black shirt on, black pants, and his sunglasses. He had tattoos all over him, you know. He said he had so many tattoos, when they ran out of stuff to read in jail, they read him. I was following my father. We turn the corner, and he steps out on that sidewalk, and this tarot card reader stands up and says, "Charles Mahaney, we don't want you in our territory. Get out of here." I'm like, whoa. The man next to him stands up. "Leave us alone, evangelist." And they start standing up, screaming his name. So my dad was crazy. When he sees that he's done stirred up all these devils, he just walks right through the middle of them. There's an old lady sitting there. She's got her crystal ball sitting there in her, all dressed up. My dad walked up and goes, "Ha!" I thought she was going to have a heart attack. He looked at her and says, "Didn't see that one, did you, homie?" True story. They began to scream my dad's name out. And the guy I was with, I looked at him. I said, "Hey, bub, they ain't saying mine and your name." And all I could think of was Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. There was a lady, had a big sign on the second story there, said tarot card reader. And when my father walked past, she screamed. I mean, like it scared me to death. And flew out of the top of that thing and landed on the ground behind my father. Growling, hissing, spitting. I hadn't been in church very long. I was about to pop her in a soup cooler. I'm just going to tell y'all right. I'm like, my dad looked me right in the eye. He said, "Ignore her. She's powerless." Brother Myers, that man walked down through there with her hunched over, growling, spitting, and these people screaming out his name. And he turned around and he said, "Get out of here." And when he did, that lady threw her arms up like we wasn't already making enough of a scene and screamed until she went out of distance. We went back to the car. I was speechless. I'm just going to tell you. They took us back to our motel, and I had a balcony that overlooked LAX there. I'll never forget. I walked out of there, and I was struggling with a lot of things. And big old tears ran down my eyes, my face. I said, "God, I don't care if I ever preach a sermon. I don't care if I ever sing a song. What I seen my dad have, that's what I want." About 2 years later, my father passes away. I heard him. They didn't think I heard him. You know how we can be. Well, his dad's gone. He's not going to make it. See, they didn't know my life. My dad had been gone maybe 5, 6, 7 months. I was just newly married. Me and my wife were at this service. Some guy was preaching. And there was a lady, I'll never forget it. She was standing about right here from the pulpit. And she is speaking in all these voices. And I'm standing over here, you're like, "Man, what in the world?" And they come over and they say, hey, Brother Mahaney, we want you to go pray with her. I said, you go pray with her. I don't want to go pray with her. Oh, we think you can pray for her. I said, why can't you pray for her? You're the one preaching. This boldness came over me. Brother Adams, I walked right up to that lady. I said, stop in the name of Jesus. She stopped. I said, I want to talk to her. I said, do you want these spirits in you? She said, yes, I like them. My dad said, well, when they do that, you get them out of the building because you're not going to do anything. So the usher and I walked her outside. Everybody's looking at me, freaking out, but this really stuff really happens. The usher and I walked her outside. And when she got about this far from me, she turned around, she looked at me, she goes, Nick Mahaney, why did you leave us? I went, they know my name. And when I tell you, I like to tore the doors off of that building. I ran, they was like, what in the world is God? They know my name. They know my name. They know my name. Come on, I'm telling you. The demons know who we are and they shake. My grandchildren had heard this story. Papa, take us to Venice Beach last year. I was like, I'm not taking you heathens to Venice Beach. Finally, my wife said, I'll take them. Now, they're all over the place. We walked out on that same boardwalk, and you could feel that spirit, and they were like, whoop. And I'm walking one on each leg. There was a lady with a crystal ball right there. When I walked by, she jumped up, run in front of me, said, I hate your name. Madison said, Papa, she don't know your name. I said, she sees the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. I'm just going to tell you, I got a lot of faults and failures, but when I get up in the morning, the devil goes, oh, no, not him again. I'm not afraid of the devil. Come on, I'm tired of him messing with us. I'm tired of him messing with everything. I'm tired of him messing with our children. I'm tired of him messing with our finances. Come on, somebody needs to stand up and say, I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. Come on, you don't have to take this anymore. We're children of the living God. We don't have to put up with this junk anymore. Come on, you're the one that's stopping it. Come on, somebody needs to get in the spirit tonight and say, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm tired of that spirit of depression. I'm tired of oppression upon me. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Come on, giant killers. Come on, we crucify this flesh. Giant killers. Come on, the doctors are trying to scare me to death. Guess what? My doctor is Jesus Christ. I don't walk around in fear, but I walk around in dominion. Come on, Andrew Urshan. He conquered the armor bearer. Come on, O.F. Foss. He got past the armor bearer. O.R. Foss. G.T. Haywood. Come on, Bob Myers. Come on, giant killers. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. You might as well stand up. It's hard to fight when you're sitting down. Just because you're a preacher, pastor, evangelist, all that titled stuff, doesn't mean that you don't deal with the same stuff. Come on, fear. Come on. I'm afraid I'm going to get anorexic. I've beat it. Finances. You think finances get bad? Try being an evangelist this time of year. Ain't nobody want an evangelist, do they? You call, if they think that you're even hinting about coming, well, I got to go, click. Bro, I'm just calling to check on you. Go to the mailbox, go, oh, Jesus, please, Lord, please let somebody send us something. Am I lying? We deal with the same things. Insecurities. Bad doctor's visits. Children aren't acting right. But we got to get past the little things so we can set our sights on that strong man that's trying to keep us from taking this city. Come on, that strong man that's trying to hold our family captive and at bay. Come on, that strong man that's trying to put that spirit of fear on you. Come on, that fear, that depression upon you. You don't have to put up with that spirit of fear. Come on, that strong man that's trying to tell you, you're not going to make it out of this one. Come on. That strong man, we got to get past that armor bearer, because my family needs me to be a giant killer. My family don't need me to be all wrapped up in all these little foxes that's trying to spoil my vine. Come on. But my family needs me to be a man of God. My family needs me to be a prayer warrior. Come on. Come on, somebody just needs to step out of their pew right now. Come on, and say, I'm not taking this anymore. Come on, I'm not taking this anymore. Come on, somebody needs to start walking around this church pleading the blood of Jesus. Somebody needs to tell the devil, you back off. You get away from me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's not going to be any victory if you don't step up and fight. Come on, the victory comes in the battle. The victory comes in the fight. Come on, some of you young men, you're feeling God pull at you and call you. You need to step up and say, God, whatever it takes, use me, Lord. I'll give it up. Come on, don't let up. Don't let up. Come on, Paris. Come on, Paris. Come on, don't let up. Come on, daughters of Zion. Come on, young men. Walk in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, young ladies. Walk in the Holy Ghost tonight. Intercede. Come on, intercessory prayer is about to break out in this place. Come on, intercessory prayer is about to break out in here. Come on, begin to speak the word of faith over your life. Begin to speak the word of faith over your finances. Begin to speak the word of faith over your health. Don't let the devil get you wrapped up in the small things. Come on, you get past that armor bearer. You walk out of this place tonight, a giant killer. The word says it's not by might, but it's by your spirit, saith the Lord. Come on, Holy Ghost, fall in this place. Come on, some of you haven't shouted in a long time. Some of you need to dance before the Lord. Some of you haven't interceded in a long time. It's time that you press through to intercession. Come on, young ladies, it's fallen in this place. Come on, young men, it's fallen in this place. By the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus, I speak the gift of faith in this place. Come on, we're not going to put up with it anymore. Come on, giant killers. Come on, giant killers. Come on, I'm going to tell you, the devil's a liar. The devil's a deceiver. Come on, the devil's a liar. The devil's a deceiver. Come on, won't you begin to speak against the things that's been coming against you? Come on, if it's fear, speak against fear. Come on, if it's depression, speak against it. Ha-da-la-la-mo-sha-ta-da-la-la-la-mo-sa-ta-ya. Come on, I speak it with authority. Come on, begin to praise him, church. Come on, begin to magnify his name. Come on, that's it. Come on, we're pressing through. Right, I want you to listen to me. What I'm about to ask you is going to take faith. Now, I can come back and the Lord will reveal some things to you, but see, that's my faith. And pray for you. God wants to see your faith. That's why I'm not real big on calling all that stuff out, because that's just my faith showing. Your faith is when you step out and say, God, I need something tonight. So it's going to take some faith. Now, I know some of you are dealing with some things. I mean, the Holy Ghost has already showed me some things. But who is going to be have enough faith and courage to walk down right here and say, I just need the church to pray for me? Huh? You see, back in the old days, y'all remember? They used to have the altars up there. Song service would be going. Some little gray-headed lady would walk up and sit down on that altar. And what would happen? Nobody thought she was backslid. Nobody thought bad of her. They just knew that she needed the body. And they would, oh, touch my sister. Oh, God. Or some man would walk up and he'd just sit on that altar. And the men would just, they would get up there and say, oh, God. They would pray until something broke loose. Come on, I've already felt something break loose off of me just a while ago. Who'll come up here and stand and let the church get around them and begin to pray? Come on. Come on, some of you young men, I know what you're fighting. Come on, God's about to deliver you of it. Come on, some of you young ladies, come on. You need to get up here and let these women begin to pray for you. Come on, you need to let these pillars begin to put their hands upon your head. Now, come on, church body. Come on, they're not heavy. That's our brethren. That's our sisters. Come on. Come on, don't sit there. Come on, get up there and put your hands on them. Begin to pray the prayer of faith. Come on, begin to break some things in the spirit. Come on, by the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. I'll break the bondage of depression. I'll break the bondage of anxiety and pornography. I'll break the bondage of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, don't let up. Everybody that's standing here needs somebody to put their hand on their head and pray for them. Come on, pray until it breaks. Come on, pray until there's a breakthrough. Kiyololomo shatalalaloma hasandaya. Come on, pray. Come on, you're not heavy. You're my brother. Come on, I invoke the name of Jesus in this place. I invoke the name of Jesus. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Speak faith. Take dominion. Yes, cry out unto him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Come on, that's it. Come on, elders, show them what it's like to pray in the spirit. Come on, show the young people what it's like to touch the throne of God. Come on, show them what it's like to shout and feel the blessings of God. Come on, we're on the verge of a breakthrough. Come on. Come on, break that bondage. Lift that yoke and destroy it. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now somebody needs to clap their hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. And begin to praise him for what he's done. Come on, begin to praise him for coming into this place and setting us free. That's it. Don't let up. Come on, just for a few more minutes. Come on. Come on, we're breaking through to something, church. All right, the last thing. Now, the Bible says, I believe it's Psalm 46, says, be still and know that I am God. I want you to just hold your head back with your eyes closed just for a moment and let that spirit of the Holy God begin to penetrate and permeate your very being. Now, if you will ask him, he will put it in your mind right now what it is that's holding you back. You see, there's some things that I have to do that you don't have to do. And if I don't do them, it holds me back from what God wants me to do. Just be still and ask him, Lord, show me what I need to do. When you open your eyes after God has shown you what you need to do, you don't need to wait till tomorrow. You need to start right now and killing that armor bearer that God has placed in your mind that you know that you need to get rid of. Now I want you to lift your hands and just begin to thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have struggled shame.